The preacher asked us this last week to start fasting over the Lasco Foundation, but I hope that some of us have done that. I hope that we have decided that we're going to make a commitment to go to the Lord with some fasting and prayer about the new building, because that's what it's going to take. We have no money in and of ourselves. We have to ask for the Lord to give it to us. We just don't have it. But the Lord will do that. I said the Lord will do that.
Amen.
It's not that He can do that. He will do that.
Yes.
We've got the truth. We are a lighthouse here in Northeast Ohio. And I believe that the Lord is going to do something miraculous here at Bethel Baptist Church.
Yes, amen.
Are we patient enough to wait for it?
Right.
That's what we have to ask ourselves. And I believe that we are. The Lord has given us a command to wait, and I'm glad and thankful that there's going to be a day that we take that silver-tipped shovel and bury it into the ground, and we are going to be around with tear-filled eyes saying, glory to God, not to any man, not to any foundation. Glory to God that He's made a way for us to build that church building. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 12, the Bible says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians quickly. I just want to go over this real quickly. I want to finish this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm excited that our preacher is going to be preaching on revealing Satan and discovering what he's doing. A lot of times as Christians, the devil is working through us in special little ways and we don't even see it. How frightening is it that the devil is so good that he can take God's anointed, he can take God's chosen, he can take God's people and still manipulate them and still use them and still get things done through them. It's amazing that we still, even I don't know how long you've been saved, I don't care how long you've been saved, no matter, the devil still can use us in special little ways. He can't get inside of you, he can't possess inside of you, but boy, he sure can oppress you and make you a wonderful little tool for his workings, and it's amazing that the devil gets inside. Don't think for one minute that he hasn't gotten inside every one of us and done little certain things that have gotten us away from what God has wanted us to do. I'm so thankful that our pastor is not afraid to bring that and show you that the devil needs to be exposed.
Yes.
And we'll get into fasting here in one moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, by the way, this is one of the greatest ways that the devil can work, what I'm about to talk about it just for a few minutes. The devil gets in and uses this extremely well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Now think about that for a minute. Paul is saying, I'm not going to come to you again in heaviness. Later on in this chapter, and I read that to you this last time, it talks about, I'm not going to burden you again because I don't want such a one to be burdened and then have overmuch sorrow that they can't come out of it. I thought about that. I thought about this first verse, dealing with forgiveness, dealing with being willing to say, I forgive you. And understand, there's got to be a fine line between forgiveness and tolerance. There's got to be a fine line between forgiveness and being willing to overlook something that ought not be overlooked. See, when the devil, when the preacher talks about, I'm going to show you what Satan is doing, you can come and you can shut him out and say, I am not going to listen because the devil's not using me. The devil's not doing that to me. You can do that.
He's already got you then.
He's already got you. See, we got to understand something. Just because you're saved, just because you come to church doesn't mean the devil doesn't get in and start working in you. Are you willing to notice what that is and tell him to go home? See, Paul says, I'm not going to come to you anymore with burdens. I'm not going to come to you anymore and tell you these things and have a sad countenance. Why? Because the world's full of sad countenance. We don't need our Christians to be sad as well. Well, Brother Dave, are you just acting? Are you just acting? I'm going to tell you right now. Do you know why we're sad today? Do you know why we're depressed today? Listen to me. Do you know why we're upset today? Do you know why we can't walk another step today? Do you know why we can't do things? Because there's a man that we haven't invited over for revival. That man that we haven't invited over for a revival is called Jesus Christ. We walk every day in our normal daily steps without our Savior. Oh, I know he's inside. Oh, I know he goes with you wherever you go. But do you ever think about how great Jesus is? Do you ever think about how great the Savior is? Do you ever think about how wonderful Jesus is? Do you ever think about all the wonderful blessings that He's given to you? Glory to God, if you'd think for 10 minutes about all the wonderful blessings that He's given to you, I would bet that you wouldn't stay upset. I would bet that you wouldn't stay depressed. I would bet that you wouldn't stay mad at your fellow Christian. I would bet that you wouldn't stay mad at the world. I would bet that you wouldn't stay mad at all these other things if you thought just for 1 minute how wonderful Jesus is to you. It's easier to forgive. It's easy to forgive when inside of you you've got Jesus residing and calling the shots. See, we live in this thought where that person wronged me, therefore I'm going to go ahead and just see them as they wronged me.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at it and saying, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to forgive. Think about that for a minute. If everything always went good in your life, would you ever call upon God? Rattle that around in your cage for a little bit. If everything always went good, everything was always sweet pie and roses, everything was always great, we cry, oh God, why are you putting me through this? Oh God, why are you giving me this? Oh God, I can't. Listen, God's given you an opportunity, my friend, to look on Him, to call upon Him. God's given you an opportunity, my friend, to do something great and have Him work through you. If He never gave you a trial, you'd never have a victory. The Christians that come to each other sad sack. The Christians that come to each other upset. The Christians that come to each other denying the fact that Jesus Christ is so wonderful. Paul says, I'm not going to burden you with that anymore. When you're a Christian, you ought to live your life on topside. Oh, I know that's difficult. I know it. I know it's difficult to go day after day after day living on topside. But you're going to heaven someday. Are you going to walk around like this in heaven? Well, yeah, I know, Lord, heaven's real nice and all, but if it was up to me, I'd have made the streets silver, not gold.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Can you imagine when you get to heaven, you're going to be so excited and clicking your heels, and you can't wait. Glory to God. Amen. Why can't we walk just a little bit that way while we're down here?
Yeah.
Why can't we walk just a little bit on the top side while we're down here?
Yeah.
Why can't we walk just a little bit like we know that we've got a Savior and we know that our Redeemer liveth and we know that we got something to look forward to? Why can't we walk just for 10 minutes realizing that we're going to heaven someday?
Yeah.
Good night in the morning. We walk around all the time. Well, bless God, I hope I just eat worms and die. I can't even fathom living that way. And there's days where I'm just tired. I know that. And obviously other people know it too, because I've gotten cards lately. They say, man, you look tired. Thank you. I feel like sending a card back saying, man, you look ugly. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen. Listen. We live in a time where it could quite possibly be one of the dimmest times that we've ever lived in worldwide.
Right.
And Jesus Christ is still on the throne.
These
are the times, instead of you thinking that we can't make it, these are the times when you say, glory to God, no matter how bad it is, we're still going to get through. He doesn't say He stops halfway through your valley. He says He brings you through.
Right.
It's through. It's not just one part. It's through. It's not just halfway. It's through. It's not just a quarter. He's not just going to start you out and leave you alone. He's going to go ahead and go through with you all the way. Glory to God. Get a little excited about that.
Amen.
We've got something to look forward to that the world does not know. They're going to, they're happy. Hey, listen, did you know that the richest person in the world lives in Mexico? Did you see that? In Mexico, $53.5 billion, with a B. In every picture that I saw of that man's face, listen, some of the poorest people in the world are preachers, and I see their faces. Why? Because 53.5 billion doesn't compare with walking streets of gold in eternity. We've got something to look forward to. Amen. I determined with this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. Think about that for a minute. I know I pick on Annie all the time. She's a big target. This lady sends cards out, and I love to get them. Put stickers all over them like a third grader. I love it. She sends these cards to me. I just got one this last week. So excited to get it. I literally so excited to get it. If I discourage her and I make it so she can't make it through another day, right, who is going to encourage me? If we walk around, you need to hear this, my friend. You've got to hear what I'm telling you today. If you make a habit of making everybody around you upset, if you make a habit of going around and go all the time, talking about how bad life is and how sorry it is, and blah, 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 you are literally going to have nobody that's going to come to you someday and say, man, let me help you get happy again. The Bible talks about David encouraging himself. You know how he did that? He encouraged others. Because there's going to be a day when you need to be repaid. There's going to be a day when you're down. There's going to be a day when you're discouraged. There's going to be a day when you need something. Who's going to be there to help you if you never try to help somebody else? Well, that's good preaching. I'll amen myself.
Amen.
And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Well, somebody's done me dirt. Forgive them. Why? Because if you don't forgive them, they might be overwhelmed. If you don't forgive, they may be overwhelmed. Forgiveness helps you too. Forgiveness helps you too because it removes bitterness out of your heart. Removes that unbelievably aggressive cancer called bitterness. I have housed bitterness in my heart before. I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing that causes more sleepless nights than housing that cancer. There's nothing that causes more tears than housing that bitterness. There's nothing that causes more hatred. And what happens is bitterness is like a bonfire. It really is like a bonfire. It's something that once it gets started, it really rolls and rolls and rolls. And it seems like every day that you don't get rid of it, more fuel gets added to that bonfire. It's amazing to me how Christians have no problem letting another get burdened with overmuch sorrow, and then they end up falling to the wayside. Why? Because we've decided that we'd rather house bitterness than have forgiveness. Now, I understand there's times when you feel like, well, I don't know that I can forgive that. There's never a time in the scripture that says there isn't a time when you should forgive. Never a time. And the Bible says the Lord will help you to do that.
Yes.
See, forgiveness isn't something that your flesh desires to do. Forgiveness is something you need to seek down in the Spirit, having the Spirit of Jesus Christ help you to forgive. It's something that is very, very difficult to do. Dr. Gray preached on it very, very well. Forgiveness is hard. To be forgiven is easy. But if you get in the Spirit and the absolute habit of forgiving somebody, how blessed is your life going to be? Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Are we living such a life that we would rather hold on to every last iota of hatred, to every last iota of bitterness that we have? We'd rather hold on to that then let Jesus Christ have control and have him forgive. Because if it was up to Christ, he'd forgive. If it was up to Christ, he'd forgive. So if you're not forgiving, who must be in charge? Turn to Matthew chapter 6 again. This is a beautiful, beautiful segue that the Lord gives us. He talks about forgiveness. It's amazing to me that included in his prayer that he teaches us, the guidelines that he gives us to pray, he starts out with us proclaiming who he is. And I'm not sure that we as Christians proclaim who he is enough. That he is the Almighty One. That he has a hallowed name. That he has a name above every name. That he is the Almighty One. And there's many things that you could call God when we pray to him. It's amazing that Jesus lets us know that we are joint heirs with him when he says, let's pray our Father. It's amazing that he says, this is what I want you to pray first, realizing who the Father is, realizing that when you pray, you are praying to Almighty God. Then he lets us say, well, this is what I want. I want you to pray that this is what's going to happen. And Lord, then I want you to have control of my life. I realize who you are. I realize, and I'm accepting that you are the one that's supposed to be in charge. We all know he's supposed to be in charge. Amen. You know God's supposed to be running things. As a Christian, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that he would run things a lot better than you. But then you've got to allow him to be in charge. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we don't. We don't allow God to do whatever he would do. The Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven right now, his will is being done.
Right.
It's being done right now in heaven.
Right.
I would to God it'd be being done right here, right now.
Yes.
I would to God he would come inside my life and lead me in every aspect. I don't allow him to lead me in every aspect. Oh, and I know that there's some theologians out here in this crowd right now that the Lord leads you in every single step of your way. And I know there's people walking this planet right now that, oh, the Lord's got control of every single thing they do. But in my life, the Lord does not have control of everything because I don't allow him to have control of everything. If I would allow him to be in control, he would be in control. Why? Because, oh, he's a pretty good leader.
Amen.
Oh, I would think that the Lord cares about me and he loves me. He gave his son to die for me. It would lead me to believe that he would want the best for me while I'm here. So, Lord, thy will be done. Then it goes on and says, lead us not into temptation. Lord, please, don't put us into something too much that we can handle. It's amazing how we pout as Christians. It's amazing how much we whine as Christians. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I going to step on toes this morning? It's amazing how pathetic we become. It's amazing how, oh, God doesn't love me. Can you imagine making that statement? Think about what you just said. God doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. God, you've forsaken me. Oh, God, you obviously don't care. Can you imagine making that statement? I gave my only begotten son for you. And you're going to tell, if he never does another thing for you, if he never does another thing for you, isn't that good enough? Let me tell you something. My only begotten is not Luke, but he's my only son. I love you all. Oh, but I'd never give my son for you. Never. But if I did give my son for you, and you would come back later and say, you don't love me? Wrap your head around that for a minute. You don't love me? I'm willing to give my son so you can be with me in eternity, and you say, you don't love me? Christian, you couldn't have a Savior that loves you more than we have today.
Amen.
Thy will be done. Oh, Lord, thy will be done. I know we're going to go through some things. I know we're going to go through, but you know what, Lord? I'm going to start looking at those things that we're going through as opportunities, not as obstacles. You need to look at them as opportunities, not as obstacles. Yes, God has put some things in your way. Glory to God. He's given you an opportunity to look on Him to bring you through. How are we ever going to build a church building? Because God has given us an opportunity, not an obstacle.
Yes.
We don't have the money. That's not an obstacle. It's an opportunity.
Right.
God is. We're going to wait on God. Right. So what? Glory to God. We're going to wait on God. You know what? I cannot wait. As I said before, the day that we put that show, I hope that you're here for it. Oh, now wait a minute now. I hope you're here for it. Why? Because, you might get upset, say the Lord's not working. Obviously, the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. Obviously, Brother Dave's an idiot. Obviously, he has no idea because obviously God's not doing anything. I wish I had a dime for every time I heard that. God's obviously not working through Bethel. I cannot wait for the day that we go out there and praise God together as a family because we're breaking ground. You don't think we'll be praising God that day? I think the ability to speak will be hard to find because of our wonderful Savior doing something for us. He gives us this segue into verse 16 because we already talked about forgiveness. And the Bible says, moreover, when ye fast, I got to thinking about that statement alone. I got to thinking about that statement alone because the Jesus Christ is saying this to saved people. The word is not if, my friend. The word is when. Moreover, when ye fast. Now, I got to thinking about fasting. Fasting was an integral part of the law in the Old Testament, integral part. Many times they talk about fasting in the Old Testament. The Lord was walking this earth, and they don't talk much about fasting when the Lord was walking this earth a few times, but it's because Christ was here. He was with them, and he even said to them, why should they fast? I'm with them. And then after he leaves, there it talks about fasting, prayer and fasting, and the Lord says, these don't come out but with prayer and fasting. And I got to looking at these things, and I got to thinking, I got to running it around in my head. Fasting occurred when it was something that you knew that the devil would be dead set against. It was something that was very big, very important, very, very, that the devil's going to fight you. Preacher says tonight, I'm going to preach, revealing Satan, showing what he's doing, showing how he works. This is the kind of thing that you fast for. Because the devil doesn't want to be exposed. The devil doesn't want to be exposed in your life. How is he using us? Us, I'm including me. How is he using us? The Bible talks about, moreover, when ye fast. I wonder if there's a time when we should fast. I love in Nehemiah. I want you to take a look at this. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. I had the joy of talking to Dr. Gray Sr. last night. He called me up, and boy, he's ornery. He really is ornery. I'm glad. I am glad he's ornery.
Amen.
Well, this is Old Testament, brother. Not everything in the Old Testament works. Let me explain something to you. Everything in the Old Testament works.
Amen.
Okay? Everything you'll... Well, what about... I got this the other day, and this is completely off the subject, but I don't care. Well, what about animal sacrifices? I had a person ask me. I said, the Old Testament works just like... Well, what about animal sacrifices? It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. No, we should not go out and sacrifice animals unless they're cats. We can do that. I love you, Annie. They sacrifice to an almighty God. The sacrifice has been paid. Jesus Christ paid it. Now he asks us to continue to sacrifice. Don't you remember him asking us to continuously sacrifice? I wonder what Romans 12 says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice all the time. All the time. It's worthy acceptation to sacrifice your life for your Savior. The Old Testament really does work. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. and with sackcloths and earth upon them. They had humbled themselves. Why? Oh, I like this. Why in the world in Nehemiah were these people gathered together in one accord to sacrifice themselves by fasting? Because not eating is a sacrifice. Look at you. Look at me. If I don't eat for 24 hours, that is sacrificing. If I don't eat for 48 hours, that is sacrificing. If I don't eat for 72 hours, that is sacrificing. Has it been a while since you fasted? Has it been a while since you've given of yourself to fast for something? I want you to look and see what in Nehemiah they were fasting over. They had this humongous fast. They decided that we're going to seal this day. I like this preacher. We're going to seal this day. Look at verse 38 of chapter 9. And because of all this, we made a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. The people of that Israel said, you know what? We are going to fast and we are going to seal this covenant today. What kind of covenant, I wonder, were they trying to make? What kind of covenant were they fasting and trying to seal? I love this. Oh, this is so good. Look at verse 29. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law. Well, Brother Dave, what in the world does that mean? What in the world? It was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. I got to thinking about this myself. When is the last time I fasted for the Word of God? Let me back up. When was the first time I fasted so I would walk in the Word of God? We fast for things, big things. I think you ought to fast for this building. I think you ought to fast for the Lord to do something miraculous so we can all see it. But do you know why the Bible is being attacked? And do you know why that the Bible's being second-guessed and doubted all across America today? We stopped realizing what it really, really is. If we don't walk in the Word of God, if we don't do our dead level best, I know we're all sinners. But you know, it's about time we have just a little bit of holiness. Amen. Let me say that again. It's about time we have just a little bit of holiness. Right. It's about time we have a little less compromise. Right. It's about time when somebody decides to say that the Bible's not inspired that we care. Yeah. It's about time when we realize that somebody's saying the Bible's not inspired that we realize that they're not right. It's about time that we decide that we're going to fast for in and of our own self that we care about the Word of God again. Well, Brother Dave, you just talk about the Bible all the time. That's all you ever talk about is the Bible. Bible, Bible. Always King James Bible. That's all you ever talk about. Thank God somebody is.
Amen.
Thank God somebody is. Because I'm getting a little tired of there just being a brand new version come out every month. Flavor of the month Bible.
Yeah, right.
I'm a little tired of yea hath God said running rampant through our churches, running rampant through our independent fundamental works.
Right.
Running rampant. When's the last time you fasted? Because you ought to realize how close you should become with the Word of God.
Yeah.
I started to read that passage. I said, glory to God. I call myself, I don't call myself, but I hope to be a warrior for the Bible.
Yes.
I'll never forget Dr. Lacey. I asked that Dr. Lacey to pray over me. And then listen, when you get great men of God around you, and I don't apologize for loving Dr. Al Lacey.
Amen.
I don't apologize for it. And getting an opportunity to have a great man of God pray over you, it's really an awesome experience.
Yes.
It's not the man. It's the God that worked through him.
Yes. Right.
I understand that. Dr. Lacey, in tears, begged God to let me be a firebrand for His Word.
Yes.
It's not because of the words that Dr. Lacey spoke. I love the Bible. It's because I've got a Savior, and His Word He desires to have magnified above His very name. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And we have a world today that is literally doing everything they can to take away the authority of our Scriptures, to take away the authenticity of our Scriptures, to take away the preservation of our Scriptures, to take away the inspiration of our Scriptures. Yeah. Listen, if you don't have all of those, you don't have any of those, my friend.
Right. Yeah.
If the Bible's not inspired, throw it away.
Right.
What good is it if it's not alive? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't believe it's inspired, then it's not alive. And it's not alive, then it lies. Because the Bible says it's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So if it's not alive, then it cannot be those things. When is the last time you fasted for the Word of God? When is the last time you fasted to get your own heart right? Man, preacher, I thought about this. I fasted for things. I fasted for people. I fasted to watch things happen. I fasted for all those things. But glory to God, when you fast, I wonder, have I ever fasted for me to get right with God? I'm very thankful that there was not an amen there. When is the last time we fasted to get right? You know, preachers used to be able to stand up in the pulpit and say, "Why don't you all just get right with God today?" And droves of people would come to the altar, and crying their eyes out, praying that God would help them to get right. Anymore, a preacher asks you to be holy. A preacher asks you to get rid of your drinking. A preacher asks you to get rid of your cigarettes. A preacher asks you to get off of Facebook.
Yeah.
That gossip room.
Right. That's what it is, too.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was on Facebook for 2 weeks. Never more mad in my entire life. Why? Because everything that everybody says ends up on my page. Everything that everybody said eventually was about me. Just the way it goes, man. Eventually it was about me. And I'm sitting there going, "Well, I'll tell you." And you hit the enter key so hard that it just about goes through your keyboard. You want to see yourself get fast for yourself. Fast that you get right with God. Now, come on now. Fast that you get right with God. Fast that you get right with God. God's not hard to understand. God's not hard to see. He wants you to live a right life. That's all. He wants you to do what? He wants you to live for Him. Be a sacrifice for Him. Living sacrifice. Why don't we get right with God? I'm talking to me. I'm talking in the mirror to myself. Why don't we get right with God? Why don't we decide we're going to spend a day and we won't pillow our head until we've looked at the Bible? Why don't we get right with God? Say, "I'm not going to pillow my head until I've prayed to you." Why don't we get right with God and decide I'm going to throw away your alcohol? Why don't we get right with God and decide I'm not going to look at pornography anymore? Why don't we get right with God and decide we're not going to watch that television show anymore? Why don't we get right with God and decide we're not going to talk in profanity anymore? I'm getting a little sick and tired of that, by the way. Why don't we get right with God and decide that we're going to do something about the current state of Ravenna, Ohio?
Right.
And get right with God.
Right.
I'm talking to me. Why don't we fast one time for ourselves? Looking at what they're telling you in Nehemiah here. And by the way, Nehemiah was ornery. Nehemiah would not be deterred.
Right.
Nehemiah was, "So why should I come down? Why should I come down and let the work cease and talk to you clowns?"
Right.
Why? Christian, I'm going to help you today. If you let me help, because I'm trying to help me too. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand that I'm not talking, "Well, bless God, you be holy," because I already am. I'm holy, H-O-L-E-Y. Bethel, if we want to go forward, listen to me now. You've got to grab a hold of this. If we want to go forward, we've got to make the decision that there's things in our lives that we need to get better at.
Yes. Yes.
Whether we ever get over to that building over there or not, there's things in our own lives that we've got to get better at. I've got to get better at things in my life as a Christian. When you fast, Moreover, when you fast, it goes on to say, well, don't disfigure your face and make you look like you haven't eaten in 3 days. Don't go in there and, you know, oh, well, I can't smell nice because I'm fasting. Well, I can't look good because I'm fasting. And don't go around saying, well, I'm not going to eat today because I'm fasting, with a bullhorn as you walk around. Why aren't you saying, because I'm fasting. I'm fasting because I'm a great guy. I'm fasting. Just want to let you know I'm fasting. It's like the early birthday people. You know anybody like that? Huh? Their birthday's like in October, and they're telling you now. My birthday's in October. Just want to let you know. That way I can tell them, just want to let you know I'm not getting you anything. We live our lives, listen to me now. We live our lives with a form of godliness.
Yep. That's true.
A form of godliness.
That's true.
But what's inside?
Right.
Do you ever fast for you? Yeah, I think we should fast for this building. I really do. I really do. This is a big thing, and the devil hates it. Yeah. The devil hates the fact that we're going to go out there and win thousands of souls. I hope you know that. I hope you know that's why we're going out there, Bethel. It's not so we can have 400 in the school, although I would like to have that, I think. I'm not wanting to go out there so we can have a gymnasium. I'm wanting to go out there so we see people saved.
Amen.
I'm wanting to go out there so the truth is propagated in a world where there's so much false. I want to see truth. But I'm not willing to sacrifice holiness to go there. I'm not willing to sacrifice, say, you know what, preacher, I think we ought to have a music concert every night. That'll get us over there quickly. I'm not willing to have a preacher that tucks tail and runs every time the King James issue comes up.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we're going to lose people.
That's right.
God builds his church.
Amen.
If you left his church over his word, it's your problem. That's good preaching, brother. I got three amens out of the whole crowd.
Amen.
Three amens over the King James Bible. Just spent 25 minutes on it, and I got three. Amen. I'm glad you're done. It's not a time to tuck tail, my friends. It's a time to get right. When you fast. Moreover, when, my friend, when you fast. Because there's going to be a day when you should. When you fast. When you care enough.
Right.
If your child was dying, you'd be fasting.
You ain't kidding.
Right.
Inside your heart resides a King of Kings.
Yeah.
Can we get right with him? Just a little bit. Can we get right with him? Can I get right with him? As I was doing this last night, and I've made commitments to the Lord over and over. Oh, I know none of you have done this. I've made commitments to God over and over again. Lord, I'm going to live right. Lord, I'm going to do right. I'm so glad he's long-suffering with me.
Yes, me too.
Because I fail him so often.
Yep, you do.
Lord God, I'm going to do this, and I don't.
Yep.
In the Old Testament, man, you vowed a vow. It meant something.
Yep.
Yep. And I've broken vows. Broken them. If you'd be honest, you have too. But you know what? Your God loves you. Your God cares about you. When you fast, consider fasting for you. Consider fasting for what's inside here. Walking in his commandments. Sealing that fast. Sealing that fast and letting yourself know that this is the time when I'm going to do my best to live right. You may fail again. But that's okay, because you know what? You can give up another day for fasting to get yourself right back on track.
Yeah.
What a wonderful Savior we have, so full of grace and mercy. Moreover, when you fast, make an appointed time, folks. I know I need it. I know I'm going to be fasting, because I'm going to tell you, the Lord desperately wants to get closer to me. I need to desperately want to get closer to him.
Yes.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you are long-suffering and patient. I thank you so much that you're so merciful. Lord, I know that America's not going the way it should, but Lord, it doesn't have to be that way. Lord, I believe that if Christians got right with you again and decided that we're going to live old-fashioned holiness again, Lord, I believe that you would allow us to do that. Lord, all we have to do is let you steer our ship. Lord, all we have to do is look on you and decide that we're going to live inside your word and realize what your word truly is. Lord, what's sad is the Christians today spend more time arguing over what your word is than doing anything about it. I would to God the arguments would cease and the word would just be exalted. Lord, help us today. Help us today to get closer to you. Help us today to be more forgiving people. Help us today to want to do more for you. Lord, be with us. Be with us because the time for pettiness is over. The time for serving you is here, right now. Lord, be with us in a special way today. Anoint my pastor. Lord, let him preach with power today. We need to hear from you, Lord. Yes. Anoint his lips. He's got to be able to preach today, Lord. Please, anoint his lips today. Yes. And help us. Help us to realize who our adversary is. And help us to, Lord, to combat him. Lord, beat him back for us so we can serve you better. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.